This week is the longest parsha. Is the longest parsha of the Torah. Parshas Nasai. How many psukim?
176.
There are three things that have 176. Parshas Nasai. Okay, Parshas Nasai. Okay, Heshi. Parshas Nasai has 176. Mizmor Kuf Yutes has 176. And Masechta Bava Basra has 176. Okay, so represents, 176 represents, it's not a coincidence, in front of the microphone. It's not a coincidence that these three things have 176. Basically, 176 on a very simple level represents the most, represents a ribui. And that is why this always appears after
what?
A ribui, an increase. The fact that there are three things which have 176, there's a lot of Torah on this, but just the basic you're saying is the number that after the Yom Tov of Shavuos, due to the Chavivos,
176 above the Basra room is only after the printing press.
Okay.
You're right.
But the main thing is it's 22 times 8.
Right.
Oh, very good. 22 times 8. That's the main thing. 22. The number 21, 22 are the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. 8 represents above and beyond the Malam Derech HaTeva. It represents, 7 represents the Shleimus of Teva. And then you go above and beyond. 22 multiplied by 8, it represents above and beyond in Torah, a yearning, a desire to have as much as possible. And that is why, and this all every year falls out after Shavuos, and that's why we never try to catch up. We had already two opportunities, we mentioned this already a few times, we had two opportunities to catch up to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they are learning this week Parshas Bahaloyscha, we're learning Parshas Nosai. We could have very easily caught up with them already two times, but we chose deliberately not to catch up with them. That's because we are really on track. They're the ones that are off track, because we said this 2 weeks ago, last week, is that you're supposed to lay the Toichacha exactly 2 weeks before Shavuos. Parshas Bamidbar, which has many remozim to the Chavivus of Ev Klal Yisrael, then the Hashuas Hashchina before Shavuos. And now comes part three. After the inspiration and the lessons of Matan Torah, a person is supposed to increase in his yearning to come close to Hashem through the learning of Torah, the doing of mitzvahs, and all related matters. And that is why specifically after Shavuos, it's not a time to shut down and go on vacation. Adarabah, it's time to increase, accelerate, to upgrade to a higher level of learning. It is a product of the Yom Tov of Shavuos that we read this parasha, the longest parasha in the Torah, 176, 22 times multiplied by 8.
Can I just make
yes.
one point?
Yes.
I read something last week that Naso has more Medrash Rabbah than, by far, than any other parsha. So much so that you look at the Mavoa series, the entire Talmud is just on Naso.
Really?
So I always knew that. So the suggestion is made that it's because it's after Shavuos and so many secrets of Torah were revealed in the wake of that, so we have all this
it's the inspiration. The inspiration, this is the litmus test. After Shavuos is over, are you inspired to spend more time learning Torah? Or no, now it's the summer, now it's time to go on vacation and to wind down. If a person is not inspired to do more, then he sailed. Then Shavuos was all about cheesecake and about reading magazines. If a person, when he walks away from Shavuos, he's inspired to spend more time learning Torah, that means he's a success. Chazal deliberately arranged that we should lay the parasha that has the most pesukim after Shavuos to indicate that the goal of Shavuos is to be inspired to come closer, to do more and more. I don't know. I just wanted to just mention a very, very short aura before we go into it. We'll talk about it. Is the first Rashi. I don't know what it means, but there's definitely I have a feeling that there's something very, very big over here. Maybe you can explain what this means. The very first Rashi in the Pasuk says, Nosoi, I want you to lift up, which is an eloquent way of saying count. Es Roish, the members, the heads of Bnei Gershon, Gamhim, they also. And Rashi says, K'moshe tzivisicha al Bnei Kohos, just like I commanded you in the previous parasha Bnei Kohos. Hear the words. Liros, to see, Kama Yesh, how many members of the family of Gershon, Shehigi'oi, who have become eligible, L'chlal Avoda. Why are you counting? What's the purpose of counting? The purpose of counting over here is not the same reason why you count the members. It's not the members of a Klal Yisrael. By Klal Yisrael, we count everyone from the age of 20 years up and above, 20 and up. Here, we're counting people between the ages of 30 and 50. This is not a counting of every single member of Shevet Levi. We're counting of your Shevet Levi. When we counted Klal Yisrael, we counted. There were already two countings. It was the counting of Klal Yisrael, but the counting in Parashas Bamidbar was a counting of how many people do we have? Just a census. And when it came to the Jews, this Israel, the census was from the age of 20 and up. When it came to the Levim, we counted them from 1 month. Now we're doing another counting. This counting we're doing over here, of the three parts of Shevet, we're breaking down Shevet Levi into three parts, we're counting them from the age, who here is in between the age of 30 and 50? 20 year period of time. Because we need some people for the service. We need people to enter the service of carrying the Mishkan, of disassembling, assembling the Mishkan when we travel, taking care of the Mishkan. Do we need you all? Is there a draft? Do we have every single person has to come forward? No, not necessarily. It doesn't say anywhere there's a draft. It doesn't even say there are rotations. That's the point I'm trying to make. It doesn't even say here, oh, Shevet Levi, oh, we need people to carry the Mishkan. Who's going to carry the Aron? Who's going to carry the Mizbeach? Who's going to carry the curtains? Who's going to do all of these things? So we have Shevet Levi, we're going to divide them into three parts. But don't they have other jobs? They're busy people. They have to go sing. They have to play musical instruments and do the Shira and do Shemira. Oh no, that's a different age group. That's a different... Or maybe it's not, they're certain, okay, let's put that aside. But here, we're dealing with a very specific role, and it doesn't say here anywhere, this is what you would think, oh, everyone is put in a rotation, everyone is necessary. I don't know what I'm saying is correct, but there's something very important about this Rashi, especially with our introduction, that this parasha appears immediately following Shavuos, and the message of Shavuos is inspiration. You just went through a Yom Tov of inspiration. Okay, most people don't learn all that much from Shavuos. After everything is said and done, you know, staying up the whole night doesn't exactly help you learn more. Most people end up learning a lot less because of their schedule is disturbed. And you know, with getting together, family, food, and this and that. Yet the goal of the Yom Tov is inspiration. And with inspiration comes Parshas Nos, and now let's get serious. Now we have the largest parsha. And Rashi, and now we do the opening of the parsha by counting Shevet, Gershon. And Rashi says, what's the purpose of all this? We already know what their numbers are. We already showed Chavivos. Rashi's words are, Lirois to see, Kama ye shehigioi, L'chlal Avoda. We don't want you to serve. We want to know if you're eligible. We want to see potential. That's the word. Kama yesh gioy l'chlal Avoda. What is the true message that you take away from Shavuos? The opening, we start. There's no doubt that Parshas Nosai is a parasha that presents a message, a success a plan going forward from the inspiration of Shavuos. You go to an organization that has a Shabbaton, a convention. And what do they do when the convention is over? We will hear now, after sitting here with everyone here in this beautiful hotel and eating all this unhealthy food and having all this entertainment and listening to all of these speeches, now is the moment of truth. Now we will issue a statement. We will issue, right? Any organization, the goal is, what's the takeaway? We are now going to issue a statement. This is our upshot of the whole purpose of this convention. We're here for a purpose. There's a reason why, you know, you go to a simcha, who's the Baal Simcha? Right? The first question is, I walk into a hall, there's a lot of food, there's music, there's entertainment, people are dancing. Who is the Baal Simcha? Is this a bris, a bar mitzvah, a wedding, or a funeral? Who is the Baal Simcha? The Yarshan? Who is the Baal Simcha here? That's the first question you ask when you go to an event. Right. So you go to a convention. What's the purpose of all this? To make money? Besides that, we're going to issue a statement. Oh, who really cares what you have to say? But they issue a statement. What's the statement? What is the takeaway from Shavuos? Well, Parshas Nosa is the takeaway, is the statement. And the symbol is because there's the most number of psukim. But then Rashi really says something much more important. And Rashi says the statement is, it's time to evaluate potential. That's the statement. The goal is, who is eligible? What potential do we have? What can we do? It's not just, okay, let's learn. Let's learn more Torah. There are more psukim to learn. The goal is not, okay, let's more of the same. After Shavuos, it's not a matter of more of the same. It's a matter of evaluation. What do we have? What are our resources? What skills do we have? Rashi's words are gold. Kimosha tzivisicha al b'nei kohos lirois. This is the takeaway of Shavuos. After you finish Shavuos, what do you do now? A cheshbon hanefesh. We're not asking you to do anything yet. We're not asking you to have a new seder in learning, have more time to learn. The goal is to know, kama, yesh, how much do we have available, shehigioi, that is eligible, that is ripe, that has reached a state, lichlal, for the goal of serving Hashem. That is what Shavuos is all about. It's to make a cheshbon hanefesh. Where are we holding? What are realistic goals? What potential is available to Klal Yisrael, to us as individuals, and the tzibur? That's what it is. It's you take inventory. We're not selling anything today. Adraba. When a store, I don't know if they do this anymore, but when it used to be olden days and learn accounting, you take inventory. The store is closed. You lose money. You shut down the business. It used to be in the olden days, these major retailers, it came time once a year, whenever they did periodically, today we take inventory. You know what that means? The store today is closed. Because when we take inventory, we cannot be distracted with customers and things going in and out of the factory. We have to know what we have. Business is closed today and we're going to lose money. Because if we don't take inventory, we won't have a business to begin with. It's a necessary evil. That's the upshot of Shavuos. These words of Rashi. Kama yesh. What do we got here? Yesh, kama yesh. What do we have? Inventory. Are we selling you anything today? No. It's just to know where we're holding. Kama yesh shehigiyoy. What do we have that's ripe, that's available, that's fitting, that have come off the production line that is fitting to be sold in the market. What can we do? Shegir l'chlal avayda. Okay, that's one idea. Now I want to go to another, a major idea. We have this always bothered, but Mayevsky is here. And Mayevsky, I think, will appreciate this question. I don't know about the answer, but you'll appreciate the question. We have this aliyah in this week's parasha, to me, is the most fascinating from a Baal Kriya's perspective. Not talking about content. I mean, there is content. Obviously, the content, that's why it's fascinating, but from a Baal Kriya's perspective, I don't believe there is any parallel to this b'chol ha'Torah kula and aliyah. Now, I'm not referring to the end of the parasha. This parasha is very long because of the Nisim. There are 12 Nisim who repeat themselves, and everyone brings it. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm not talking about the end of the parasha, where you have the 12 Nisim who give the same exact gifts, and then we make a tally and add everything up, which occupies a major chunk of the parasha. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fourth aliyah. Anyone who gets this week the fourth aliyah should really wonder to himself, why did they give me this aliyah? The fourth aliyah is a very strange aliyah from the perspective of a Baal Kriya. It's very, very long, and it brings together three things that seemingly, I know you'll find me Mamori Chazal, I know, really have nothing to do with one another. And each one by itself can be a whole aliyah. And I can almost guarantee anyone in this room that would be given the Chumash with no aliyahs would break up the fourth aliyah. It's a guarantee in at least two aliyahs, if not three.
What is it,
or you would do it differently. You would probably take the entire end of the parasha and do it in one shot. Okay, instead of breaking up the Nisim, why do you break up the Nisim? Just keep on going. Why do you break up the Nisim into multiple aliyahs? I mean, it's illogical. There's a big topic of Bechlal, who broke up the aliyahs? How did this all come about? But that's the way it is. This is in Hanachlo Hemeli Yisrael Im Einam Nevim B'nei Nevim. We break up the Nisim. I don't know why we break up the Nisim. But the fourth aliyah, you lay in three things. And they're very long. Parsha Soita. And after you get through the very difficult pesukim of the Sota, and they're very hard words, very hard concepts, it's Rashi is rich. I don't remember a parasha in a long time where the Rashi's perish on the parasha of Sota is rich. It's full of so much information, so much medrash. Unbelievable what he says in this parasha, what he selected in parasha Sota. And then after Sota is over, you think, okay, I need to catch my breath. No, we're first getting started. The parish of Nazir. And the parish of Nazir has multiple parts. There are many different aspects to the Nazir. Go through the whole Nazir. Keep on going, no stop. It's express train. And then when you finish Nazir, Birchas Koyanin. Keep on going. Mm-hmm. What do they do over here? Am I saying good or am I asking?
Yeah, well, that's why you're right, because that's why Abba
Benel
says why it ends with
Birchas Koyanin. But what is all three going together? What's going on here? You start with Daber B'Nisho, Ish Ki Siste Ishtoi, goes on and on and on and on. Starka the Torah, Nazir, Daber B'Nisho, V'Marklem, Ish Ki Yafli Lindor Neder, Nazir La Hashem, and it goes on and on and on. And then, you thought you finished, it's safe? No, you're not safe yet. Keep on going. Daber el arvel bonav lemar kois tvorchu es bnei Yisrael amor lochem yivarech Hashem yishmerecha yor Hashem. I would think you should put that already part of the next aliyah. Put that into the beginning of the next aliyah. You need start fresh. No, all three are grouped together. My high, what is going on here? So I want to try to suggest you a very big chiddush, and the chiddush is the haftorah is coming specifically to answer this question. The Haftorah of this week's parish of Manoach and his wife, who miraculously became pregnant, she became pregnant. The Malach came and told her you're going to become pregnant. And the Malach told her one condition. When you have a baby, the baby's going to be a Nazir. Must be a Nazir. So the Haftorah at face value is dealing only with one thing. The Haftorah is dealing basically with one thing only, with the Haftarah, with Nazir. What exactly is going on over here? Okay, I want to try to bring out this idea. The Haftarah of this week's parasha is coming to explain to us why the fourth Aliyah of this week's parasha incorporates three things in one shot.
This week
is Parshas Nosai. This week is Parshas Nosai. And the Haftar is Vahi Ish Echad Mitzra Mimishbachas Hadoni Ushmo Monoach. And the last words of the Pasuk are Vateled Hoisha Bein Vatekro Eshemo Shimshoin. Samson. It's like Rabbi Chol told me, ask a child about Samson. They'll tell you, Al Tikri Samson, Samsung, as in Android. Do you have a Samsung phone or a Samsung? Samsung, right? So it's Samsung. And Delilah, there's another good word. Delilah is who? Samsung, and there's another pun on that. All right. Okay.
Son of Sam also.
Samsung, as in Android.
I see that made an impression.
Self, it sure did. I love that. That's the best part of the whole parasha. So we have over here Shimshon Agibon, the Nazir, a Nazir Shimshon. What's going on here? So let's try to explain the following. Let's ask a very basic question. Now I'm telling you over here is a chiddush. I'm telling you over here is not Pashup Shat. It's a drush. But I really believe what I'm saying is really, I think it's solid, at least in my imaginary mind. I think it's solid, what I'm going to tell you. When you learn the sugya of Soyva, there's a whole masech called Nazir. So what is a Nazir? One day a person wakes up, oh, you know what? I want to be a Nazir. Just like out of the blue. Just, I want to be a Nazir, I want to be holy. A Nazir is basically equivalent to a Kohen Gadol. The laws of a Nazir are extremely similar to the laws of a Kohen Gadol. People have fantasies. They imagine they're the Kohen Gadol. They can't contaminate anyone, any relative, and they can't. They don't. They're on a diet. They don't drink any alcohol, any product of the vine. They don't go to cemeteries. Oh, who are you? You're a Yisrael. How come you can't go to the cemetery? I'm a Nazir. Oh, you're a Nazir. Oh, okay. And my hair is holy. Okay. A guy wake up one day, Mark wakes up one day, he comes in a month later, he has this long hair, Mark, right? He's a Nazir. He become a Nazir. One day. Is that the chat? And the truth is, if you look in Chazal, there's definitely a lot of Mamari Chazal that would seem to indicate that's exactly what a Nazir is. It has nothing to do with anything. Now, I know you're going to tell me this is a bizarre. How can you be so ignorant not to know the Chazal say, Kol haroye soita bikilkula yazir atzmai min hayayin. Oh, so there's a relationship. What is a Nazir? A Nazir is a person. A Nazir is a person who saw, happened to be visiting the Beis HaMikdash on that fateful day when he saw a Maisa soita. He saw Maisa Saita. Oh, Maisa Saita, he got so terrified. Is he related to the Saita? He never saw the Saita. He doesn't know from nothing. He just happened to be in the wrong place in the wrong time, in the right place, or whatever it is, and he saw Maisa Saita. Oh, so he got all nervous. He has no shaykhis to this, but that's a Chazal, and of course, Chazal is Kodesh Kodasha. But still, the Nazir has nothing to do with the Saita. He just happened to see a Saita one day in the Beis HaMikdash.
What
was
he doing in the
business? He brought a carbon. He came. He was Machal Shabbos. He brought a carbon. He happened to be there. He was a tourist. He got a cheap ticket to go visit Eretz Yisrael. So where are you going to go? You go to the Beis HaMikdash. You go for a day. You stand in the Ezra Yisrael and you watch the Avodah. There's what to see. Look, what's the problem? Look what's going on over here. Okay. It's not satisfying that's the only connection. There has to be more. Now let's put that aside for one moment. Let's review the laws of a soita. Very importantly, some of them were the says in the soita. What happened exactly? What's the story, the basic story? A woman They have a man and a woman, they're married. A wonderful marriage, children, fantastic life, everything is fine in good. Vayihi hayoyim, one day the husband, they go to a simcha, and the husband, he sees his wife is flirting with this fellow over here. Husband already has a white beard, he lost all his hair, and this young man over here is talking to his wife. Husband gets a little worked up. What's going on over here? She's my wife. What is she flirting with this guy here? So he calls over two people by the chasna, and he says to his wife, in the front, one of the two witnesses, I'm not sure, two witnesses, don't you ever dare talk to that fellow again. He warns his wife, I saw you were flirting with him. I saw you were a little bit too happy to talk to him. Don't you ever talk to that man. Okay? The wife did not like that, the Muslim. And a short time later, the husband hires a private investigator, two kosher witnesses, and Vayihi Hayom, the wife betrays or disobeys the command of her husband. She did a terrible avera. And she enters into seclusion with the man that the husband warned her, don't you dare ever talk to him. Not only does she talk to him, she goes into a private room and they lock the door. And there are two witnesses watching her do this, and they even warn her. Your husband told you, don't do this. Tell my husband, go fly a kite. And she goes into the room with two witnesses watching. The two witnesses come back and say, Mr. Magoo, we have some bad news for you. Your wife disobeyed your command. She had yichud with the man that you told her not to have yichud with. Fireworks. What happened in that room? If in that room they were just schmoozing, they were talking, nothing. So the wife, she, you know, she did it. Nothing. The husband can really, technically, they can go back and they can live happily ever after. But maybe, we don't know what happened, maybe when they went into Yichud, they had intimacy. And it was an act of arayos. Oh, if that happened, then the husband is no longer ever allowed to live with his wife. They must get a divorce. Immediately, it is forbidden for the husband and wife to remain married because she's a mezana. An isha that's mezana, aser la boyel and aser la baal. Every dafyomi, aser. But we don't know. We don't know. All we know is that she went into yichud and there are witnesses that observed and warned her not to do so. And that's so there the Torah enters into the picture. And the Torah says there's a whole set of laws. Bring the woman to court. Ask the woman, tell us what happened in the room. Confess. If she confesses, yes, I was mezana. Okay, you were mezana. The consequences are you have to get divorced. You may not marry him. You may not be with your husband. And have a nice day. You're a free agent.
No ksuba.
No ksuba. But she gets, she lives. Because no one actually, if she confesses, no one actually saw the act of znus. It was done behind closed doors. She confesses, finish, no spectacle, it's over very quickly. Clean it up, get divorced, go marry someone else. You're not allowed to marry your husband, you're not allowed to marry this man. Shalom al Yisrael. Listen, things happen in this world. A lot worse things happen in this world than this. Terrible thing that happened, of course. She says, no. I didn't do anything. I'm a tzadikis. I didn't do anything with it. I just did this to get my husband angry. I did it in spite. I have a fight with him. Mind your business. I want to get my husband angry. Oh, yeah, you don't want to confess? Okay, you're in a lot of trouble now. Come to the Beis HaMikdash on this day and this time. Bring a carbon mincha, of barley, and we're going to write the parish of Soita. We're going to erase it in water, and we're going to give it to you to drink. And then we're going to see what happens to you. The Ribbono Shel Olam, this only worked in the time of Shabbos Hamishna Yikayim, when you know the Shechina was Shoyre. It's giving an open mirror of the Torah. The Ramban says that this whole sugi is baffling. Hashem is guaranteeing a miracle. And if the woman indeed was Mezaneh, and the husband, by the way, is a tzaddik, the husband doesn't fool around, okay, that's a condition, the husband's a good guy, then she drinks the potion of water, and if she really was Mezaneh, you know what happens to her? She will die instantly. V'tzavsa bitna v'nafla yirecha, her stomach will explode, her thigh, whatever these terms mean, it's gruesome. She will die right then and there. Everything is very nice. Now here's the part that is certainly the most bizarre and the most difficult part of the sugi of Saita. The next part is off the charts. And what happens if she is innocent? Now what does it mean innocent? She's not innocent. She's no tzadekis, this woman. This woman is no tzadekis. She shouldn't have been flirting with someone else to begin with. Okay, she's not married to him. What was she flirting with this person? Why did she do something which aroused the husband to warn her not to do this? So she's no tzadekis from day one. And then she disobeyed a direct order. Husband said, don't you ever dare talk to this person again. She disobeyed a direct order and she went into yichud. The only thing that we do not know is what happened. And the Torah says now, she doesn't want to confess. I did nothing wrong. And now she has to drink the mayim hama'orin. And if she did nothing, she gets a blessing. The nikisa, she's innocent. The nizra, zera. And Chazal say, if until now she was childless, a miracle happens. She'll conceive. If until now her conception, when she gave birth, it was pitzar, easy, no problem. 1, 2, 3. If her children were defective, had issues, they'll be healthy, gesunde children. What? What in the world is going on here? The woman is guilty as sin. The only question is the degree of guilt. She shouldn't have been flirting with this fellow, and she disobeyed a direct order of having yichud, which in and of itself is forbidden. A married woman is not have yichud. Terrible. I don't want to do this. And on top of that, the husband told her, don't do it. And there's a shalom bias issue here. And this goes against every principle of yados. A woman to behave like this? This woman is guilty, no matter how you look at it. This woman is problematic. She has to be sent for rehabilitation. She needs a therapist. Open up the magazines, they'll tell you all the different things, all the different services that the community will provide for her to whip her back into shape. She's no tzadekis. And the Torah says, if you taka, even though you did terrible, terrible things, but if at the end of the day when you were in yichud with this man, you didn't actually live together, we're going to give you a blessing that I guarantee you people in this world would pay, give up their right arm to have a child. Go talk to Bainai Olam. What people would give, would do. And this woman, who is no tzadekis, in fact, she's pretty evil. She's pushed to the top of the list of Bainai Olam. V'nikisa v'nizra zera. Read the Rashi, read Chazal. If she did, she couldn't conceive until now, miracle. Look at this, she has a child, mazel tov. If she had children that were sick, unhealthy, defective children, healthy, beautiful, wonderful children. If she had to suffer a horrible pregnancy, debilitating, horrific condition, and being pregnant and giving birth, walk in the park. What's going on here? What in the world is going on over here? This doesn't make any sense. She's a wicked woman. She did terrible averus. She set a horrible example. This is a Bas Yisrael. You read the Rashi's. She brings a minch of barley. She behaved like an animal. She brings the waters in kli cheres, because when she entertained the man, she poured him delicious wine in a beautiful vessel. So now we punish her by putting her, giving her water, bitter water, in a disgusting earthenware jug. Can make you vomit. Because when she entertained the person that she had an affair with, oh, she made a beautiful dinner for him. This woman's no tzaddikus. Excuse me, the more you learn about what went on over here, the more the question is, what? V'nikus of the Nizra Zera? What's going on here? So the answer is like this. This is what I wanted. This is the reason why you lay it in one shot. The Torah is teaching an incredibly soy, not just the soyda, the whole life. Like they say in English, from lemons, you make lemonade. You make lemonade. The Torah is telling her now, this is your rehabilitation. Ordinarily, let's explain, ordinarily, when a woman has a child, oh, look at this, I have a child, mazel tov. So what do? You dress up the kid, you go to the store of a person. If a person is blessed and has money, you go to the fancy designer stores and you buy all the tchotchkes for the kid and a stroller that costs $1,000 and a crib that costs $5,000, designer clothing, it's a toy. A child's like a toy. Today, you know, people who are phenomenally wealthy, you look at some of the advertisements in the magazine, a child is just like for some people, it's like a new smartphone. And you know, you play with it, you decorate it, and you send it to you know the fancy high the schools, you educate them. A lot of, unfortunately, what people do with children is a tremendous bracha. No one is chas v'shalom coming to say anything bad, but it's the human condition, it's human nature that you live out your fantasies through your children. Many people will tell you that their children, like they give their children what they really imagine they would have for themselves. There's an element of selfishness in having a child. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Make no mistake. That's the way the way Hashem made the world. You have a child, you have satisfaction. I leave over something in this world. I have a child, I give the child toys and money and I educate it, I pamper it, and when I do that, I have incredible benefit. When a person has a child and the child says to his mother when he's 2 years old, Ma, I'm becoming a Nazir. I'm out of here. I'm going to the Beis HaMikdash. I'll see maybe 5 times for the rest of my life. The rest of your life. I'm going to grow this long hair. I'm not going to go to the cemetery. I'm not going to visit anyone. I'm not going to come to all the Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not going to come to the Hanukkah party. You gave birth to me. Thank you very much for giving me life in this world. I'm now going to devote myself to Hashem and see you later. Wouldn't a normal person be very disappointed? You want to share your life with your children. It's normal, it's healthy, it's encouraged to be selfish when you have children. That's the way Hashem made it. You have children, you want to be part of their life. You want that you should be part of their life. It gives you, that's what this world is all about. To have a child and to say to the child, like what Hannah, that's not the Haftarah, what Hannah said, Hannah, I want a child, and I'm going to give him Shiltil Hashem. I want to have a child, and I want to never see him again. When he's 2 years old, they have a babysitting service in the Beis HaMikdash. They take care of him, and every free moment they train him how to be holy. I'll never see him again. Chana said to Eli, to Elkanah, I don't want a child for selfish reasons, even though you're supposed to have children for self, that's the way it is. No, I want to have a child, and I want to shiltil la Hashem. I want to give him up, Shmuel was a Nazir. Okay, he's not the Nazir of this week's Haftarah of Mandayach. He's not Shimshon. But Shmuel was a Nazir. Chana demonstrated an extreme degree of selflessness. Not selfishness. Not the selfishness, but selflessness. Not selflessness. It's Hashem. That's exactly the reason why you lame everything in one shot. Nazir. You know who the role of being a Nazir is upon? The role of the Nazir is not the child himself. The role, a woman was a soita, a reshanta, a zoina. She did terrible things. There's no way, there's no excuses for what she did. She destroyed her marriage, she destroyed her reputation, she destroyed her family. She's smart enough, the very last moment, she stopped. She didn't go all the way, she didn't do an act of zdus. But there are consequences. And you know what the consequences are? Okay, if you drink the water, you're mezana, you're dead. It's over, goodbye. You drank the water and you didn't die? Oh, that means that Yutaka, the very last moment, you had enough seichel to cut out the nonsense. Okay, very good. But you need rehabilitation. You need therapy. You need services that the community can provide for you to rehabilitate, put you in the right frame of mind of what your purpose in this world is. If you're a regular person, you have children, stay home with me, be with me, give me company, let me be part of your life, that's normal. But you, no, you need rehabilitation. So you know what we're going to do for you? Hashem says, I'm going to give you a child. And now let's begin the next parasha. You're going to raise this child to be a Nazir. The child that I'm giving you is going to be a child. It's your duty. It doesn't say this in the Pasuk Mamish, but it says this in the Haftarah explicitly. That right after the woman has the Mikah, I'm now going to do a miracle for you, Hashem says. I'm going to give you a new lease on life. But you're not going to be like everyone else. Everyone else, because they were not problematic, they can be selfish. You can be selfish sometimes. It's not so bad. It's okay. You can take your child and bring him to American Girl, buy them a nice doll, and buy all of the accessories, and take him to Great Adventures. And you can also go on the rides with them, and take some nice pictures and enjoy your children. Be part of their life. But you, Saita, no. You're not going to Great Adventures with your kid. You're not taking your child to American Girl. You're still in business? What? We'll see. You're asking good. I don't have all the answers, but let's look one second. After Saita, the Nizra or Zera is not just Stam for free. There's no free lunch. Especially not for her. We're giving you a mission. You're going to now to do teshuva. The din nazir is not a din nazir on the person. It's not like the romantic version of nazirus. Someone wakes up in the morning and he just, oh, you know what? I want to be a nazir. That's not the way it works. Someone has to influence you to be a nazir. And you know who influences you to be a nazir? Your mother. This is a woman's parasha. You, the mother, v'nikisa v'nizra or zora, and now don't, about kriya, don't stop. Don't stop here. Keep on going. The next parasha of Nazir is given, is the focus of the parasha of Nazir is on the mother of this child. And she's going to raise a child to an extreme to be Shiltiu la Hashem, just like we find Chana the way she raised Shmuel was Shiltil LaHashem, and it comes at great sacrifice. That's what's expected of you. And if you do this, Yivorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yor Hashem ponav ilecha v'il Yisoh Hashem ponav ilecha v'yosem l'chashom. I'll bless you, and this will be the teshuvah. I'll look at you. Hashem will shine his face. The Birchas Kayaharim I'm suggesting is almost focused primarily on the soida. That's a chiddush to say that's a such a thing. That the Birchas Kayaharim at the end of the Aliyah, who is the Pasuk blessing? Ein mikro yoytse midei pshuta. I know that. Omar Elohim. It's a general commandment for Klal Yisrael, for the Kohanim to bless the Klal Yisrael. But in the context of the Aliyah, where we go from Soita to Nazir to Birchas Kohanim, the Birchas Kohanim is directed to the Soita. Would you imagine from all the people that the one that we're giving focus on is the Soita? Well, that's the context of the laning. A woman did a terrible avera, but you know what? She was able to control herself at the very last moment. Excellent. Excellent. That's going to earn you an opportunity for rehabilitation. You know what the rehabilitation is? We're going to entrust you, we're going to empower you to raise in this world a holy child. And that's going to come at great self-sacrifice. When all of your friends are going to great adventures with their children, Chol HaMoed, you know where you are? You're sitting home davening that your child that's in the Beis HaMikdash or that's in Kollel, that's somewhere, should be successful in his Avodas Hashem. That's a lot of sacrifice. And if you'll do all of this, you're going to get a special bracha for being able to grow and to take a matzav in life where you fell and you sunk to the depths of Tumah. You went into a yichud, into a room with a man that's not your husband, after being warned, and you're able to pull yourself up, control yourself, and now we give you a mission, we give you a child, and you raise this child to be a Nazir Elokim, Kodoy Shiyeh Gadol Pera Asar Roshoy. Look at the contrast. When you are a soita, what do they do to you? Upora esroisha. They uncovered your hair. They took out the braids of your hair in the Beis HaMikdash. They were mavaza you. And look at your son. Kodosh yihyeh gadel pera saroisha. His hair is sacred. You, they were mavaza. And they gave you to drink from the Mayim HaMe'orim. Look at your child. The Achar Yishte HaNozir Yayin. The Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. Yivorechecho Hashem V'yishmerecho. The Birchos Kehanim is you, the Soita. Look what you have done. Look where you have, how low you've gone. But you were able to pull yourself up. And we, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to give you a mission. I'm going to empower you to do something, rehabilitation. It's going to be great sacrifice. It's not easy not being able to go to great adventures, not being able to take your children to Chol HaMoed. How many grandmothers do you see in the American girl on Chol HaMoed in Manhattan? This is the way this is a good thing. If you could afford it. Not everyone could afford. And if you're also able to hide it from everyone else, they shouldn't get jealous. Hashem gave you the bracha, that's the way it is. What's wrong? What's wrong if Hashem gave you the bracha and you're responsible just to make sure no one gets jealous? But not this woman. This woman is not going to be taking her kid to American Girl. Because the kid's going to be a Nazir. The kid's going to be in a different program because that's what you need to do. You need rehabilitation. And for that, you'll earn Yivarecha. And the truth is, every person is like this in their own way. Every person in their personal life has failed. And many of us have failed miserably. And the goal is to make from lemons lemonade. Mm. To take that weakness, to rise up, to find the mission, to grow. And be zoicha to yivorecha cho Hashem v'yishmerecha. There's a shtickle soita in every person. Mm. And how do you know this is true? Look at the Haftarah. The Haftarah is mamish, says it openly. What's the story of the Haftarah? You have Manoach, Vayish Echad, Mitzorah, Mishvachas, Adoni, Shmai Manoach, Vayish Vayakhara Velo Yolada. The woman appears to her, and the Hashem appears to her, and Hashem, now I don't know how far you want to go. Manoach was an Avoritz. Okay, what does that mean exactly? What, I always bothered. Why do you have to go and mention that he's an Amoritz? I remember I was once, it's a joke, but it's not really a joke. I remember I was once speeding by someone. These people, the wife, she calls the shots. Very good woman, she calls the shots. And we were talking about this. I said, Manoach was a very smart man. Vayelach Manoach achare ishtar. He listened to his wife. She couldn't stop laughing. She couldn't stop laughing because her maven yavin. She calls the shots. I mean, when her husband listens, it's a yontif. But Chazal don't look at it like that. Chazal say, for whatever reason, I don't know why, for whatever reason. And okay, Rabbi Neiman, you asked me a good question. How do you manage to see it? You don't see the element of sight. Tzadekis, Ezra. But what do you see? You see the principle of the Malach telling the Isha, you will have a child. The Malach is telling her, V'nikisa v'nizra zera. That's where the story begins. It's not about business what happened before. It's not relevant. We're starting, the story of the Haftarah begins at the end of the parasha of Soita. The end of the parasha of Soita are the words, V'nikisa, if you're innocent, V'nizra ozera. So you would think that Aliyah should come to an end. No, then we go into Soita. Well, the Haftarah says, you know why the Aliyah does not come to an end? Because here we have a story where it says, V'nikisa, V'nizra ozera. And what are you going to do with that zera? You're going to raise him to be a holy person. And when they hear this, they're shaking. What do we do? What do we do? How do we raise him? How do we raise him? And then there's the famous Musar. And I'm not going to go through Sukkim now, but this really does fit in, Mr. Rabbi Neiman. This really does fit into what I was saying. Okay, this is the famous part is, the Malach comes and says, you know how you're going to raise him? You be a Nazir. Manoach. This is a very famous part. Remember, we said that very. We can't go to the Sukkim now, what he does, but the Malach says to Manoach, oh, Malach came, how do we raise him? The Malach comes back, and the Malach, you read the words literally, as all the Mepharshim say, the child will follow the example of his parents. So the way you're going to raise the child is, you, Manoach, you, the Amharim, you're going to have to become a Talmud Chacham. You are going to have to become a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol Mamzer, a Talmud Chacham Mamzer, is greater than the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. Manoach, you start out in the parasha. How does Manoach start out in the Haftarah? And Am Haaretz. Vayelach Manoach Achare Yishtai. He was a Nebuch. Hope there are no women listening over here. Don't kill me for this. Chasfam, I only mean for the good. But the end of the Haftarah is Manoach. It's time to shape up. It's time for you to become a Talmud Chacham. It's time for you to become a Nazir. Memelo, that's how you can be able to raise your child. Isn't that the rehabilitation for the Soita? The Soita Dir Navera, we're going to rehabilitate you. We're going to give you a mission. We're going to give you a child. And you're going to raise him. How are you going to raise him? If you don't know how, if you don't know anything, you have to raise yourself up. You have to become holy. And indeed, they were very successful. They raised, not Samsung, but Sam-son. Charles did not have a Samsung. He had an Apple.
No, no.
Yeah. they raised a successful Shimshon. Yeah. You have to watch. This is a Bavlust of art. This is a famous art. Tish, you the husband. This is the goal. The goal is this is mamish the connection of the parasha. The haftorah is fataychung. And what did Shimshon go and do? He brought to Klal Yisrael tremendous brach. I know he's a little interesting person, Shimshon. Okay, to say the least. Shimshon was a
complicated
person, but Chazal have given very, very high grades. After everything is said and done, we're not people to judge. Chazal give him high grades. A tishkoi to oretz arboim shon. 40 years of peace. Do you know anyone that can pull that off?
He was a shofet.
Shofet. Okay, 40 years. He was a very holy person. Okay, he was very successful. He was mekayim yivorecho Hashem v'yishmir. So the yisoid is, if anyone here was taking this parasha and was breaking it up into seven aliyahs, I guarantee you would take all of the nesim. When we start from Chamishi, you would take that, you would make that into one aliyah. It's just a repetition. Just go through in one shot. Well, technically, yes. Technically. Okay, so maybe you're right. Maybe Taki, you're right. But that's a very big issue of stop this. Have said, you know, I mean, when you stop, some don't make sucks from shishi. You know, that's a whole different shoes. Okay, but and you should know there are a lot of questions about the aliyahs. Even some, I mean, told me 2 weeks ago was Tadar Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is the person present Rav Chaim Kanievsky. A lot of very difficult questions about how the parashiyos are broken up into aliyos. It's unique. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, you know, he showed him a lot of different things. I never heard this before. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, you know, I never thought about that. I never realized that. I don't know, there was a certain question. I don't know what the questions were. It's a general topic that how the aliyos got broken up. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he called him a kula, he said, you know, I never thought about that. But the end of the day is, this is the minhag Yisrael. Every printed chumash, this is the way it is. Look, you want to make haystafis? Okay, listen, there are exceptions. But this is the minhag. The minhag Yisrael is Dvar Pella. From Chamishi to the end of the parasha, we break it up into a few aliyahs. Why? Go one shot. If you want to break up the aliyahs, you would break up Nazir into two aliyahs. You break up. So it's very unsettling. Soita, Nazir, Birchus Kehanim, packaged in one aliyah. Maybe the longest aliyah in the whole Torah. What's going on over here? The Haftarah tells you. Soita is not a story of waking up one day with an epiphany. Oh, I'm going to be a Nazir. The Nazir is a product of a Soita. A Nazir is the product of a Soita. If a woman was a soita and she survived, it's her duty to create a nazir. It's her duty to shaf a girl, to make the nazir, to influence the child that he'll become a nazir. That's the role. And when you do that, that's where the bracha comes in this world. And like we said, every person has in them a shtickle soita.
So what was the bigger thing? Noah becoming this or
Shemesh? Both! Eilu v'Eilu. What do you mean? What do you mean? Eilu v'Eilu.
Noah changed from, let's say, Hamaritz to a Tanakh.
Yeah.
He influenced his son to become a
He was a model.
Yeah. And what is Shemeshon?
He was a... Shemeshon was a complicated person.
Right.
But the bottom line is he was a Shoifet. And he was a holy person. Beyond our wildest imagination. This is a general question. How do you understand David and Bathsheba? How do you understand Yehuda and Tamar? How do you understand B'nai Slot? Okay, these are difficult questions which no one's going to give you a satisfying answer. But the bottom line is, they are in Tanakh. And anyone in Tanakh is holy. And if the Chazal give them high grades, the question, the Mona Lisa is not on trial. I mean, even the Avodah, we're in Eretz Yisrael, but the Mona Lisa is not on trial. No, not with the cake. The Mona Lisa, Kai comes to the museum and he's looking there and he says to the curator, I don't see the godness of the Mona Lisa. My kindergarten child can do just as good. The curator says to the tourist, sir, the Mona Lisa is not on trial. You're on trial. If you don't understand the godness, it's your problem. The Mona Lisa is not on trial. Shimshon is not on trial. David is not on trial. Yehuda is not on trial. If we don't understand it, it's our problem. Shimshon is Shimshon. It's Kodesh Kodashim. And who made him? Manoach and his wife. The Torah is telling you, if you know who's supposed to make a Nazir, a Nazir is a Kohen Gadol. Same halacha, a Seder. A Nazir is a product of a Seder. What do you mean a Soit? A Soit is a problematic person. She did some horrible things. But she rehabilitated herself. And part of the rehabilitation is to take on a project. There can be no greater project than raising a child to be a Yorei Shemayim, to the highest degree. And every person in their life has, like I said, a shtickle Soit in them which can be used as a springboard to make from it. Oh, no, okay, my boys, I thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.